Bride Meditations, The Spirit and the Bride Through the Scriptures, by Mallory Patrick, read by herself, Part 1. Who shall stand when he appeareth? Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire, and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and purifier of silver, and he shall purify the sons of Levi, and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer unto the Lord an offering in righteousness. Malachi 3:1-3. The Lord, whom we see, suddenly comes to the temple. Out of Zion appears the perfection of beauty, God himself. No one remains when he comes. A fire devours before him, and it is very tempestuous round about him. No one stands when he appears. All of our carnal reasonings are exposed in all their ugliness. All of the Adamic is brought to light and condemned. No one can justify themselves when he appears, because everything we are is so contrary to him. Are you still standing? Do you yet live, remain? Then he has not yet appeared. When he appears, he is a fire that burns out impurities and a fuller soap that cleans, bleaches, and beats us until we are the fabric of the desired quality. A fuller treated fabric with a special soap that both bleached it and also somehow changed the fibers of the fabric to make it thicker. This occurred while the fabric was being beaten. Fire burns out stuff immediately. But fuller's soap requires a process of beating, pounding, being slammed into, to achieve the desired effect. He is purging the sons of Levi so that their offering will be acceptable. Whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. Glances into Jesus' heart. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. The me in this verse is the me that is the bride of his heart, not the me that is in the earth that is flaky and sinful. All things are working together for the good with reference to this me. The bride of his heart is the only me that Jesus relates to. All things work together for the good, God's eternal plan good, and the good for the bride of his heart. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:10. God's workmanship is the bride. We were in his heart before the creation of the world, and he had plans for his bride way back then. We were created in Christ. We were taken out from his side. He has foreordained that those who believe into him being formed into this bride relationship will operate by the nature of Christ. I was foreknown as bride. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Jesus has placed all of his fullness in the bride. This has put him in a position of vulnerability and weakness. Because he has deposited his fullness in his bride, he cannot make it without her. We, the bride, have become his protection and his strength. If we leave him, we being those who are bride, and leave, meaning not relating as bride, it kills him. Theologically, it does not kill him, but it guts him, because we leave his tender parts and vulnerability exposed. Also not mentioned here, his heart and affections are bound up with her. If she departs, she breaks his heart. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Song of Songs 7:10. The first time the Shulamite speaks this way, she describes the beloved as hers, and she his, in Song 2:16. The second time, she changes the order and confesses that she, in fact, is his first, and then he is hers, see Song 6:3. But this time she speaks, it is different. In this declaration, she possesses nothing in the relationship. She has nothing of her own. I believe that this declaration is the purest of the three, that she recognizes that his desire is not for her as who she is in the earth. She has seen into his heart and understands that there is an image of the bride in there. She is identifying with that image when she says that his desire is toward her. She realizes that everything is about him, and she is identifying herself in that sphere. This is the highest form of relating to the Lord. Anything of his that I call mine puts self into it. It takes what is high and pure and holy and leaves my impure mark upon it. But the bride of his heart has no impure mark upon it. It is his and his alone, and his desire is toward this perfect one. The Benjamin portion. Comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye to the heart of Jerusalem, and cry unto her, that her hard labor is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received from the Lord a Benjamin portion for all her sins. Isaiah 40, verses 1 and 2. The Lord speaks to the heart of the bride because this is where she hears him and responds. He always speaks to the heart because this is where her identity is formed. She awakens to him and her relationship with him when he speaks to her core. She has received a Benjamin portion for all her sins. The Lord did not punish her. The bride is not punished. The only reason she would sin is because she was unaware of oneness. The bride is not judged at the cross. Adam is. Before the cross, she existed in his heart. She came forth in the resurrection. So the Lord never deals with her in the realm of the judgment. Instead, when she sins, he responds with treating her as bride. He gives her 5 times more than all the brethren sitting at the table. She is the blessed one of his heart. The King James Version says that the Lord gave Jerusalem a double portion for all her sins. Why would the Lord make his wife pay for her sins? That goes against the new covenant. Why would it be a tender message to tell her she can come back to him now that she has paid for everything? The tender message that captivates her heart is that he treated her and cared for her like bride when she took on the image of something else. This certainly would draw her back to him. Out of my mind and into his heart. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. Ephesians 4, 17 through 20. When I walk according to the futile mind, I am insensitive to the things that are in the Lord's heart. Not only am I completely unaware of what matters to him, I also continue to have sin problems that show me that I am still unclean and everything is still all about me. These besetting problems are indication that I continue to walk according to the way Gentiles walk, in their minds. I have not so learned Christ. All the Christ I have learned in my core, in my heart. Christ is never learned with the carnal mind. It is always learned deep down and then enters the mind as a realization. But I like my mind to be in charge, and that causes me problems, keeping me in uncleanness. The fallen man's heart is stubborn, which keeps him ignorant of the Lord. Because they cannot access the Lord, they are separated from the life of God. Being separated from the life of God leads to darkened reasonings. These, in turn, lead to a futile mind. But I got saved. I received the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. I no longer have a stubborn heart. So all of the framework in the soul that feeds and supports the futile mind has been removed. However, I still tend to operate according to that futile mind that is the fruit of a stubborn heart. If I move away from that mind as my ground and onto the ground of the new heart, I will continue to learn Christ. I will see the uncleanness and greediness begin to dissipate because the ground for its working is gone. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Psalm 34:20. As bride, we are his flesh and his bones. Even through the horrific events of the cross, though Jesus' flesh was mangled, his bones were not broken. As Jesus' flesh, we are his vessels of expression in the earth. We take hits, we sustain wounds and marks for the Lord as we move through life. As bones, we enter into the image of his heart. This is the bride in completion. The bones were protected all the way through the ordeal of crucifixion. Not one was broken. The bones are protected by Jesus, and within, the bones generate his life. In this way, she is his strength. She is his frame and holds him up. She generates his life. Her very existence as bones is evidence of his victory at the cross. She is unharmed, unmaimed. Not one of his bones is broken. Whatever we go through in life, he interprets it from the view of bones. Psalm 34:22 says, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them who trust in him are desolate." This is eternal life. The bride lays down her life in the earth. The bones are a sign of her ultimate victory and resurrection. She loses her life, and the Lord redeems her soul. She is never desolate because she is always full of his life. In Exodus 12:46, the Passover lamb's bones were not to be broken. She was in him at his death, and he kept her from what he had to go through. The bride does not bear his marks as the bones, but we do bear them as his flesh. As his bones, she is unmarred. She is a sign of victory, of how he and she overcome the world together. Till we all come. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Ephesians 4:1-6 and 11-13. The verses that get emphasized often are verses 11-13. And even these are interpreted as the fivefold ministry being the pinnacle, the thing to be attained to, with the following verses either being what the fivefold ministry gets the credit for, or just kind of politely read and acknowledged because that is where the sentence ends. Such is the reasoning power of the carnal mind. It perverts and twists the scriptures to interpret them favorably toward the individual. The carnal mind makes the fivefold ministry feed its own nature. But Paul is not mentioning the fivefold ministry as a point of stature. It is a temporary device that is used to bring forth what is in God's heart. Here is what is really working in God's view. Till we all come. Even though the verses literally relate to son, the spirit of what these verses say apply to bride. What is really working in the Lord's heart is that we are all come into the image that is in God's heart. In His heart, there are not prophets, apostles, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. There is only one. See Ephesians 4:1-6. God is above all, through all, and in you all. The one. In verse 2, the walk is according to the one who is in God's heart. We do not defend or justify ourselves. We do not puff ourselves up. We walk as though we are nothing because we are nothing. All hidden grasping for self and personal stature has been removed. Lowliness. We do not grasp, push, and manipulate our way into a position or reputation. Meekness. We put up with anyone who is doing these things for as long as it takes, till we all come. It is in this spirit that Jesus gave gifts of ministries, till we all come. His heart is not with the ministries, but with the one that is in His heart. In verse 3, we see that to God, there is only one. We labor to treat everyone who is in the one as though they had fully entered in already. In verses 4-6, we see that this is the one whom God has always wanted. There is nothing higher than one body and one spirit. One God is above all, through all, and in us all. There are no giants, no flunkies, no greats like David, no questionables like Samson, no lower class Christians like Thaddeus. Who is he anyway? There is only one body, one spirit, and one God. In verse 10, Paul says that the Lamb descended that he might ascend higher than the heavens and fill all things. Verse 13 says, till we all come. And that is the key, because there is nothing higher than the bride of His heart. There is nothing more fulfilling, more satisfying, more assuring, more defining, more full of purpose. Till we all come. Being concerned with anything less than all coming is to leave God's heart unsatisfied, to deny Christ the pleasure of having His right to fill all things. So on either side of verses 11-13, we see the Spirit of the Lamb. Verses 2 and 3 are before, and verses 23 and 32 are after. The highest thing in God's heart is the lowliness and having the proper spirit of mind. The true sayings of God. Blessed are they that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation 19:7-9. All of what has transpired before this verse was for this. All of the movements and dealings, such as the law and the kingdom, all of the important people, such as Moses and David, it was all for this. The Bible was for this. Everything culminates in the marriage supper of the Lamb. To try to draw out of all of the tools and items that are working toward the culmination is to settle for something lower than what is in the Lord's heart. To want to be an important figure like Moses, to want to be a prophet in the fivefold ministry, to want to know the Bible better than others, all of this allows the person to remain and so falls short of bride. In the bride, there are no spiritual giants and spiritual flunkies. There is only one. We all enter into what is in his heart, and this is the highest thing. Everything else has been put away because they have served his purpose, and now God has what he wants. If we see how important bride is to him, we will enter into that identity and relationship. We will find all the stability, security, value, purpose, and identity we need. When we have entered in here, we have entered into the culmination of God's heart. Ezekiel's Temple, chapters 40 through 42. In Ezekiel chapters 40 through 42, the temple in Ezekiel's vision is measured thoroughly, and it is perfection, completion. The bride of his heart, in his heart, is perfect and complete. Jesus has measured her, and she meets all of his specifications. She measures up to all that he wants. This is the measurement by which Jesus measures all things. He is measuring what we are and all that we do by this standard. Bride meets the measure of what is in his heart. If what we are exhibiting and what we are doing is not bride, then it doesn't count. That sounds cold and hard, to measure by a fixed standard, but please understand that Jesus measures by the desire of his heart, what he loves. Individual believers have different standards of measurement, both from Jesus and from each other. We measure ourselves, others, and the actions of all according to our own affinities and preferences. When Jesus accepts something we do not like or rejects something we embrace, we get upset. But he embraces bride and rejects everything else. Part of conforming to the image that he desires is becoming aware of what is important to him and moving with the Spirit to be made into that image. When this happens, we will not take offense when the Lord embraces a brother we do not like or rejects our good ministry ideas that have nothing to do with what is in his heart. In time past, God spoke by the prophets, but now he speaks in Son. See Hebrews 1, verses 1 and 2. The only way to interpret his word properly is by the measure of the whole. We only truly understand the Lord when we perceive what he says as coming from his heart. This is the full measure of his measuring. We can look at Old Testament characters, see the impact that they made during their lifetimes, compare it with our own lives, and feel like we haven't done much. We may wish that we would be used of God like David or Elijah was, but this is the wrong measure. His heart never desired one impressive person doing lots of things for God. He always wanted a bride, and now he has that. He has what he wants, in Son, which is where the bride is. When we identify here, in his heart, we come into full acceptance, assurance, and rest. Here, in his heart, we see all earthly things in their proper perspective. David did his part to bring about what was in the Lord's heart. Abraham did his part. Moses and Gideon did their parts. And the scriptures do their part. But the only reason any of them had a part at all was because the Lord was working toward something, the bride. Their parts only mean anything and have any value at all because Jesus' work was successful. His bride came out of his side. The writer of Hebrews said it this way: God having provided some better thing for us, that they, without us, should not be made perfect. Hebrews 11:40. Their work has no meaning if there is no perfection, completion, acceptance, and rest in God's heart. The scriptures have no weight, no validity, if there is no bride. She is the only purpose for their existence, for they bear witness of the Lamb and his wife. All of the different movements of the Lord, the establishment of the law, the rise of the prophets, everything, were different necessary bits and parts that had to come about for the Lamb and his bride to get together down the road. Once they are together in a manifest way, those things are no longer needed. Christians today measure and compare themselves, thinking that different forms of Christian activity are the standard. How untrue! The bride of his heart is all Jesus ever wanted. It is very misleading to see some believers doing more than others, and some believers knowing more than others, and concluding that they are favored ones. This is living in time past, and relating to God as though there is no bride yet, and he is still speaking at sundry times and in diverse manners. To compare oneself to another believer on account of ministry and knowledge is a pre-cross relationship. The Lord is satisfied with his bride, not with individual Christians doing a lot for the Lord. The parable of the householder and the laborers. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth and ninth hour, and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here all day idle? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard said unto his steward, Call the laborers, and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal to us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil, because I am good? This parable shows the contrast between how the Lord measures all by what is in his heart, bride, and how individual ministers measure themselves according to their works. The bride in Jesus' heart is full and complete, needing nothing to be added to her stature. All who enter into that relationship are accepted based upon that image, not based upon when their service commenced or how long it continues. Bride is a relationship and an image that Jesus desires. Whether two believers enter in or 2 million, all partake of the same relationship and are recompensed the same amount. All come to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The service that a laborer renders is not measured by the length of time spent working or how much is accomplished. This is not said expressly in this parable, but the measure of the service is defined by a bride, who gives the Lamb to all. Whether an individual enters into that early on or comes to that later is not a factor in the Lord's judgments. All that matters is the quality of the service rendered. Lamb. Lamb from the laborer always gets the same response from the Lord. In the kingdom, our labor is measured by nature, not by duration or results. To be continued.